The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo, Part 2, The Yoga of Integral Knowledge, Chapter 13, The Difficulties of the Mental Being, page 391. We have come to this stage in our development of the path of knowledge that we began by affirming the realization of our pure self, pure existence, above the terms of mind, life, and body, as the first object of this yoga. But we now affirm that this is not sufficient, and that we must also realize the self, or Brahman, in its essential modes, and primarily in its triune reality as Satchidananda. Not only pure existence, but pure consciousness, and pure bliss of its being, and consciousness are the reality of the self, and the essence of Brahman. Further, there are two kinds of realization of self, or Satchidananda. One is that of the silent, passive, quietistic, self-absorbed, self-sufficient existence, consciousness, and delight. One, impersonal, without play of qualities, turned away from the infinite phenomenon of the universe, or viewing it with indifference, and without participation. The other is that of the same existence, consciousness, delight sovereign, free, lord of things, acting out of an inalienable calm, pouring itself out in infinite action and quality, out of an eternal self-concentration, the one supreme person holding in himself all this play of personality, in a vast, equal impersonality, possessing the infinite phenomenon of the universe without attachment, but without any inseparable aloofness, with a divine mastery, and an innumerable radiation of his eternal, luminous self-delight, as a manifestation which he holds, but by which he is not held, which he governs freely, and by which, therefore, he is not bound. This is not the personal God of the religious or the qualified Brahman of the philosophers, but that in which personal and impersonal, quality and non-quality are reconciled. It is the transcendent, possessing them both in his being and employing them both as modes for his manifestation. This, then, is the object of realization for the sadhaka of the integral knowledge. We see at once that from this point of view, the realization of the pure, quiescent self, which we gain by withdrawing from mind, life, and body, is for us only the acquisition of the necessary basis for this greater realization. Therefore, that process is not sufficient for our yoga. Something else is needed, more embracingly positive. As we drew back from all that constitutes our apparent self and the phenomenon of the universe in which it dwells, to the self-existent, self-conscious Brahman, so we must now repossess our mind, life, and body with the all-embracing self-existence, self-consciousness, and self-delight of the Brahman. We must not only have the possession of a pure self-existence, independent of the world play, but possess all existence as our own, not only know ourselves as an infinite, unegoistic consciousness beyond all change in time and space, but become one with all the outpouring of consciousness and its creative force in time and space. Not only be capable of a fathomless peace and quiescence, but also of a free and an infinite delight in universal thing. For that, and not only pure calm, is Satchidananda, is the Brahman. If it were easily possible to elevate ourselves to the supramental plane and, dwelling securely there, realize world and being, consciousness and action, outgoing and incoming of conscious experience, power and in the manner of the divine supramental faculty, this realization would offer no essential difficulties. But man is a mental, and not yet a supramental. It is by the mind, therefore, that he has to aim at knowledge and realize his being with whatever help he can get from the supramental plane. This character of our actually realized being, and therefore of our yoga, imposes on us certain limitations and primary difficulties, which can only be overcome by divine help or an arduous practice, and in reality, only by the combination of both these aids. These difficulties in the way of the integral knowledge, the integral realization, the integral becoming, we have to state succinctly before we can proceed farther. Realized mental being and realized spiritual being are really two different planes in the arrangement of our existence. The one superior and divine, the other inferior and human. To the former belong infinite being, infinite consciousness and will, infinite bliss, and the infinite, comprehensive, and self-effective knowledge of supermind, for divine principles. To the latter belong mental being, vital being, physical being, three human principles. In their apparent nature, the two are opposed. Each is the reverse of the other. The divine is infinite and immortal being. The human is life limited in time and scope and form. Life that is death, attempting to become life that is immortality. The divine is infinite consciousness transcending and embracing all that it manifests within it. The human is consciousness rescued from a sleep of inconscience, subjected to the means it uses, limited by body and ego, and attempting to find its relation to other consciousnesses, bodies, egos, positively by various means of uniting contact and sympathy, negatively by various means of hostile contact and antipathy. The divine is inalienable self-bliss and inviolable all. The human is sensation of mind and body, seeking for delight, but finding only pleasure, indifference, and pain. The divine is supramental knowledge, comprehending all, and supramental will, affecting all. The human is ignorance, reaching out to knowledge by the comprehension of things in parts and parcels, which it has to join clumsily together, and it is incapacity attempting to acquire force and will through a gradual extension of power, corresponding to its gradual extension of knowledge. And this extension it can only bring about by a partial and parceled exercise of will, corresponding to the partial and parceled method of its knowledge. The divine founds itself upon unity and is master of the transcendences and totalities of thing. The human founds itself on separated multiplicity and is the subject even when the master of their division and fragmentations, their difficult solderings and unifying. Between the two, there are for the human being a veil and a lid, which prevent the human not only from attaining, but even from knowing the divine. When, therefore, the mental being seeks to know the divine, to realize it, to become it, it has first to lift this lid, to put by this veil. But when it succeeds in that difficult endeavor, it sees the divine as something superior to it, distant, high, conceptually, vitally, even physically above it, to which it looks up from its own humble station, and to which it has, if at all that be possible, to rise, or if it be not possible, to call that down to itself, to be subject to it, and to adore. It sees the divine as a superior plane of being, and then it regards it as a supreme state of existence, a heaven, or a sat, or a nirvana, according to the nature of its own conception or realization. Or it sees it as a supreme being other than itself, or at least other than its own present self, and then it calls it God, under one name or another, and views it as a personal or impersonal, qualitied or without qualities, silent and indifferent power, or active lord and helper, again according to its own conception or realization, its vision or understanding of some side or some aspect of that being. Or it sees it as a supreme reality, of which its own imperfect being is a reflection, or from which it has become detached, and then it calls it self, or Brahman, and qualifies it variously, always according to its own conception or realization, existence, non-existence, Tao, nihil, force, unknowable. If then we seek mentally to realize Satchitananda, there is likely to be this first difficulty that we shall see it as something above, beyond, around, even in a sense, but with a gulf between that being and our being, an unbridged or even an unbridgeable chasm. There is this infinite existence, but it is quite other than the mental being who becomes aware of it, and we cannot either raise ourselves to it and become it, or bring it down to ourselves so that our own experience of our being and world-being shall be that of its blissful infinity. There is this great boundless, unconditioned consciousness and force, but our consciousness and force stands apart from it, even if within it limited, petty, discouraged, disgusted with itself and the world, but unable to participate in that higher thing which it has seen. There is this immeasurable and unstained bliss, but our own being remains the sport of a lower nature of pleasure and pain and dull, neutral sensation, incapable of its divine delight. There is this perfect knowledge and will, but our own remains always the mental, deformed knowledge and limping will, incapable of sharing in or even being in tune with that nature of Godhead. Or else, as we live purely in an aesthetic contemplation of that vision, we are delivered from ourselves. But the moment we again turn our consciousness upon our own being, we fall away from it, and it disappears, or becomes remote and intangible. The divinity leaves us. The vision vanishes. We are back again in the pettiness of our mortal existence.